I'd like you to open your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 17. Revelation 17 says, "There came one of the seven angels which had seven vials, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I'll show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. The angel said unto me, Wherefore did you marvel? I'll tell thee of the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, that has seven heads and ten horns. The beast you saw was, is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, the others yet not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is of the eighth, and is of the seven, and goes into perdition. And the ten horns you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength to the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters you saw where the whore sitteth are people and multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns you saw upon the beast shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God be fulfilled. And the woman which you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." Speaking of Babylon. Now, I read the whole chapter because there's some things that kind of goes back and forth. It mentions about the whore sitting upon the beast, and that the nations would give their power to the beast for 1 hour, and that the whore is upon the waters. It says that the waters are the people or the nations. And that great whore is also spoken of as Babylon the Great, or the great city. As we read on into chapter 18, it's bringing forth that that is the financial system of the world, and that the merchants of the world are made rich through her, and they will wail and lament when she is destroyed or brought to naught. Now, what I want to share with you is from the scripture. We are very close moving forward into the end of what the Bible would call the end times or the latter times. We are farther into this than what people may realize, and you may or may not see it already, But what I want to share with you, help you to see, we're pretty deep in all this. And you may or may not realize what's happening right now, in that even today there's a meeting of what's called the World Economic Forum in Geneva, and that's the billionaire trillionaires that actually rule the world through money, through the world's economic system. That's the ultimate power over humanity. It's with money. That's why it says the love of money is the root of evil, or the power and control is through people serving money, or Babylon. Babylon as an empire, they took all the gold out of the temple, and it was the wealth. And it's a picture of wealth in the natural, and people bowing to that and serving that, which is largely today ruling the earth. It most certainly rules this. Most people in this nation are servants to money and pleasure. That is the God of this nation for the most part. Now, there are those who Jesus Christ is Lord of their life that are not primarily serving money and pleasure. But many who name the name of Christ, the reality is, do serve money and live for worldly pleasure. Now, if the Lord's your source, whatever's your source, that's what you would naturally fear losing. So the fear of the Lord is, I don't want to move in disobedience, that God's hand lift off my life. If God's hand is upon my life, I don't have to be afraid of what the enemy's doing around me or what circumstance exists around me, because the one who loves me, with whom I have covenant, who's provided all things, his hand's upon my life. I need to stay under the hand of his blessing and not step out from that. So therefore, I will take heed to what he is saying, to his voice, and not just do my own thing. But if someone's serving money, they'll be very haphazard as to their obedience to the Lord and think they can pick and choose and they can just decide. But they'll be very fearful of losing their money they have stored up, or their job, or however money's flowing to them. So whatever the principle is, you're a servant to your source. Whatever truly is your source, you'll serve. As people make government and man their source, they'll do whatever the government and man says. If God's your source, then if man's telling you to do something contrary to God, like you're not allowed to go worship, well, you're going to obey God rather than man. Because the blessing of God on your life is of greater value and importance to you than that which could come in the natural. Well, back here, Revelation 17, it says here, verse 13, that these nations would have one mind and give their power and strength to the beast. It mentions about five kingdoms, and then a sixth that was at that time, 2,000 years ago, and then a seventh that would emerge, and then the eighth out of the seven. Now, through history, the five major kingdoms up to that point were Egypt, that ruled the known world or the civilized world. Egypt, which then God defeated through bringing the children of Israel out. And there was war, and with the passing through the Red Sea, the Egyptian army was defeated. God did those 10 miracles of judgment, striking at the idol worship of Egypt. Egypt was defeated. The Assyrian Empire then rose up. Then the Babylonian Empire conquered the Syrian Empire. The Persian and Medes conquered the Babylonians. Then the Greek Empire rose up, conquered the Persian. And then the Roman Empire rose up and conquered the Greek. And the residue of the Roman Empire continued on until now, really, where you had the Western civilization. And in Daniel's vision, he saw it all, where it talked about the head of gold and the shoulders of silver and on down through. And it talked about the legs of iron. I mean, it was like iron in the hips, but then legs of iron, which the Roman Catholic Empire split into two. You had the Roman Catholic Empire and the Byzantine Empire, where you had like the Catholic and the Orthodox, and they ruled for years and years and years, for centuries. And we have the residue out of that, where Western Europe, you're merging out with the Roman Catholic Empire. But the empire that's in process and development is that seventh one, which is the beast. And the thing with using the word a beast, like an animal out of control, it is systems of the world. It's not anymore like just a nation's government with a man at the helm, but rather the beast is the systems of the world. And that's what we're moving into, that there are world systems. Of course, there are people under demonic influence who run these things. But there are systems. So one of the things that's happening even today with this meeting of World Economic Forum is that there's a draft was brought forth by the Biden administration. You have to understand our own government's way beyond politics. It's not about Democrat and Republican. That's a ruse to distract you. But it's those who are globalist, one world, given to Antichrist, or those who have the love of the people and the nation, as our previous president, now being referred to as Ultra MAGA King. He didn't realize that's a compliment for him. That's not a cut. But anyway, not to diverge over there, but these people are globalists or given to the spirit of Antichrist. Their agenda is one world. That's why the big move at our border is to eliminate the border, to have a North American republic. Those plans have been placed, to my knowledge, over 40 years ago. They're working towards this end. And with the previous president, God gave us a little reprieve of another 4 years, because the woman running against him would have done what the current one's doing now. She would have immediately begun to push those things. To vote for those people is a complete statement that I'm an ignorant person of what's going on. I don't mean that to cut on anybody. If you voted for those people, repent of your ignorance. Say, Father, open my eyes. Because there's an agenda which is satanic. We see it in the Bible. This is not some conspiracy theory. There is a conspiracy, but it's by Satan. It's revealed in the Bible. It's going to happen like God said. The thing we don't know through time is the timetables. It is going to happen. But where are we in time? So we endeavor to fight against what the enemy's doing, but we realize at the appointed time what's going to happen is going to happen. The scripture shows us things will get worse and worse, and in Paul's letters to Timothy, but then also in Romans chapter 1, where in the rejection of Jesus Christ, people have a reprobate. They receive a reprobate mind, where there's a kicking out of the Holy Spirit, no conviction of sin anymore. They move into the worship of creation, in particular, all manner of sexual sin, the whole gay, lesbian thing. That's all demonic. and people of worship of creation, which all the insanity out there, you know, worshiping creation rather than doing what's best for humanity. Well, it says they have one mind to give their power to the beast, and it mentions about the seven mountains or seven kingdoms, and there would be 10 horns. And Daniel saw that, and now here it's coming out expressed in a little, the same thing in a little different way here to John. And it's referring to the time that we're living in, whether it be actual 10 dominant nations, could be debated. Some say 5 from the east, 5 from the west, or whether that's more of a figure of speech. That's not the issue here. The issue is they would have it in their mind to give their power and strength to the beast. And what the Biden administration has drafted, that was just very minorly reported this week by some people I believe are very reputable, that the draft was to turn over the sovereignty of the United States and 94 other nations in agreement to this, the sovereignty of the United States to the World Health Organization, which means that that World Health Organization could give a dictate to our government, and our government must obey them. Or in other words, sort of under the umbrella of the UN. You might say, oh, that can happen. Well, you're ignorant if you say something like that. Reality, it can happen. Reality of Scripture shows us it's going to happen. Now, another aspect of that beast is, I mean, you have the beast of health being controlled. You have economic control, military control, governmental control, educational control. There's systems being developed. It's been in development. But in 2020 was the first time in the world's history we saw that an edict came out where the nations all bowed their knee and submitted and shut down. That never happened before. So it's in the name of protecting you from this disease, because you have people not really trusting the Lord, in the name of protection, you need us to save you. Now, whether you realize it or not, Bill Gates is one of the primary financiers of it. He's a very evil man. And in pushing the vaccine thing, I heard him say to his people, it was on video, that we will control the world's population through this. And if something's saving lives, how does that control the world's population? They actually had the intent that many would die through it. And also, it's pretty well established fact that many young women will become sterile and not able to have children as a result or a side effect. But that was a precursor, because one of the things that came out, and the whole push was censorship, there were many doctors speaking out against some of these things who were censored and blackballed and basically prohibited from practicing medicine because they spoke out that the microchipping can be done through the vaccination. You know, this super minute microchipping. Now, I'm not saying they did that then, but they did sort of the trial run. So if they have the authority to shut it all down, they also have the authority. They can declare what a health emergency is. They can declare that you must do what needs to be done to prevent it, which is take the shot, which is the mark of the beast. That's all on the horizon. Now, whether it happens now or not remains to be seen. Again, it's in the timetable of God. But it will happen. Right here it is. It is going to happen. The thing that would be of greatest impact is when they do a one world financial system where the money of the earth, currencies are revalued, and the dollar is going to be taken off as the standard by which commodities are based upon, and we will see an immediate devaluation. Now, we have inflation now, but that'll be nothing compared to what's to come, because everything imported will immediately lose the value that much, of which a lot of our goods are imported. So you have that and that control working towards a spirit of fear. And I share with you a few years ago what God showed me, that the spirit of fear is going to come in waves based on three things: terrorism, unknown diseases, and economic hardship or collapse. We didn't see the economic thing yet. That's sort of starting in process. And people are very fearful because all this inflation, saying, well, how am I going to make it? How am I going to do this? Well, believe me, it's going to be worse. And if you're not living by faith, it will overcome you. But if you are living by faith, we don't have to be afraid of anything. God is still who he is. No matter what man does, no matter what the devil does, no matter what's happening in the earth, the truth of who he is above all of that. The question is, will God find faith on the earth? There in Luke 18, when the Lord comes, will he find people in faith? Will we live by faith or not? Well, anyway, the present administration is given over to that one world, to the devil. It's in their heart to give their power to the beast. Now, in researching some of this, you know, immediately things coming out saying, oh, that's not true, whatever. Well, there's liars that lie about everything they're doing. And we're to a point you can't hardly believe anything you read. However, these things have been drafted. Now, will that final draft that's submitted this week go through like that or not? Well, we'll see. What can we do to stop it? Well, if we're in Revelation 17, 13 to 17, nothing. That's not what you want to hear. Man wants to think he can control things. Well, we can fight hard enough. We can stop it. I'll get the guns out. We'll start blowing liberals away or whatever. No. What's going to be is going to be. If we're not in that time yet, there may be some things we can do to prolong this moment of time. When we were able to have our last president elected, God gave us a reprieve of 4 years. What did the body of Christ do with that? Largely, in my observation, just continue pursuing money and pleasure. There needs to be a national real repentance to complete in the body of Christ, now I'm talking, to completely give ourselves to everything of the kingdom of God, rather than, you know, 1 foot in the kingdom, 1 foot in the world, to use that expression. Well, he says here, he brings out, that comes out in the book of Daniel, that this whole one world thing will make war with the Lamb, but the Lamb shall overcome them. To make war with the Lamb's to persecute the church. And one of the things we will see only increase in the last days is persecution. We've not really had a lot of that in this country. But many parts of the world, it's very severe persecution. Place like China, for example. And there are many in the world who, as a result, are refugees, whether it's through wars or whether persecution or through disasters. But, you know, homeless, refugees, one of the things that's emerged in my heart is a compassion, and that there is a call of God that as we're moving forward, God is going to provide for us to make up a difference for those who have nothing. If you've not known what it is to be helpless, there's a realm of the suffering of humanity that you're unaware of, that you won't have a sensitivity to, that you don't really think about, well, it's those people over there suffering, but as long as I have, you know, we have our money and pleasure, who cares? But when you ever enter into a place where you're helpless, that's a terrible place. Humanity hates being in that place. And with a question, I've shared a message already, who is my neighbor? Because of everything, media, internet, and all that, all over the world's our neighbor. We're aware. We can see who's suffering all over the world. The world's our neighbor, not just the guy down the street anymore, how it used to be. We can't stick our head in the sand. And God's going to use the church in the last day, who will be filled with the Spirit of God, filled with the love of God, to show forth the compassion of Jesus to a people who are helpless. The thing that defines someone being a widow or orphan is you do not have any power to help yourself. You are helpless. At that point, when you have others who will have a heart of compassion and reach out, that speaks of your God. It speaks of what's in your heart. And the body of Christ in the end time is going to be used of the Lord to show forth his love as well as to carry forth his power and the words of wisdom. And there will be the great harvest of souls I refer to constantly. I shared a word with you a few weeks back, Revelation 14, I think it's verse 14, about the angel decreeing that the harvest is ripe, put in a sickle. Never in history has the harvest of souls been ripe all over the world at the same time. But that's what's going to happen at the end here. And it's through the suffering humanity's going through will serve to ripen the harvest. And the people of God, where the laborers are few compared to the greatness of the harvest. That's why Jesus said to pray for the laborers, to rise up, to take the gospel to all corners of the world, but also to demonstrate the love of God, the giving of ourself out of that which we would have, to show forth his love. And you know, the charismatic movement had it wrong. I knew this back then. You'd hear churches should get together and have a meeting and hold hands and sing Kumbaya. And that's really going to impress the world to think, oh, see their love. They hold hands and sing Kumbaya. What nonsense. This is complete nonsense. It's when they're suffering and out of your own provision, you give of what you have to others. In the face of, you could be afraid yourself for lack. But we're not afraid of lack because we know our God. And we can give that last meal. We can give of ourself and show forth the love of Christ. And a testimony of Jesus being carried throughout the earth. And because of the ripening of the harvest, there would be that massive harvest of souls to where the Lord says, okay, it's time for my church to be taken up, the heavenly New Jerusalem, to be taken out, and the wrath of God to be poured out on the children of disobedience, on every demonic work that's on this earth, also known as the Great Tribulation. The Antichrist will rule iron-fisted for that 7 years. in the tribulation. That's the eighth kingdom mentioned here. It comes out of the seven. What I'm seeing more clearly now is there's a two-step process from where we are right now. It's from how we've known nations to have autonomy to a one world beast system, the systems controlling things. Again, economic, health, education, all these things. It's a one world governing system. How do you fight against the system? It's not like, well, here's a man. We overthrow this evil dictator. No, it's a system worldwide. That's what Satan is setting up. And at the appointed time, leaders of the influential nations have it in their heart to give their power to the beast. And our current administration has that in their heart. And it's not just the man who has trouble forming sentences. It's all the people that are associated behind it. You take one out, another one will step in. The woman running for president 6 years ago would have done what they're doing today had she won. God gave us 4 more years. May he give us another span of time? Maybe. We don't really know that. Our salvation is not through politics. It's not through political leaders. That's a deception. Jesus never, in his time, one of the people groups was called the Herodians. They were looking to their life being blessed more by following after Herod the emperor. Jesus never said to follow them. One of the groups was the Zealots. They wanted to overthrow the Roman government. Fight. Jesus never said to follow them. Of course, there were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Essenes. He didn't say to follow them either. But God wanted to bring out a people who would be his people, walking in his ways, living for him, worshiping him, carrying forth and demonstrating the love of God in the earth. That was his aim then. It's his aim now. It's his aim at the end. Well, there'll be war against the Lamb, but we don't have to be afraid. To talk about future things should not spark fear in us. If it does, that can be a signal to you, I'm not where I need to be relative to living by faith. Now, you don't have to get in condemnation about that, but you do need to deal with it yourself. Well, what are we going to do about whether or not I'm in faith or not? Well, faith comes by hearing, or out of the process of continuing the hearing of the word, and hearing unto the completion of that word, the word of God. We need to give ourselves to the word, not seeking worldly and earthly pleasures and make more and more and more money. Think if I have enough money, I'll be safe and secure. We have to judge ourselves. I mean, you can stay in that bondage if you want to. God won't make you get out of it, but you'll always be under that cloud of fear then. We don't have to live under that cloud. Back in Hebrews 10, the letter to the Hebrews, they were undergoing persecution. Many were being tempted to draw back, not really follow the Lord anymore. And Paul was giving them a revelation to set them free, the revelation of the high priestly ministry of Jesus, who brought us into covenant with God, giving us the Holy Spirit, whereby we can partake all spiritual blessing, all of the kingdom of God's available to us. We have the guarantee of that new covenant because he is in the presence of heaven itself, representing us with his precious blood, having been put on the mercy seat, speaking of our redemption and our gift of righteousness, speaking of the Holy Ghost being given to us by whom we can partake all the kingdom of God. So why fall back? He says, my soul will have no pleasure in those who draw back, but the just shall live by faith. And he was quoting there from Habakkuk chapter 2, when God spoke to the prophet Habakkuk that Judah is going to be conquered by Babylon. And Habakkuk had a problem. He said, God, how can you use the Babylonians who are more unrighteous than we are to bring judgment to us? God can use whoever he wants to use. And God was saying, this is going to be. Write the vision. It's going to happen. It will not tarry. It will happen, Habakkuk, just like I said it. And he said, write the vision. They may run and read it. And people take scripture out of context and say, oh, you know, come up with a vision so you can run forward into it. That's not what that's saying. The word run there means to travel. He's saying you're not going to fight it with a sword. You can't run away from it. You're going to have to flow with it or travel with this. And that you're going into captivity 70 years. It's going to be like that. Because they refused to judge themselves as the prophets were giving warnings and the cry of God, come back to me, come back to me. And they didn't do it. See the prophetic warnings were the love of God in operation. People that don't know God, they'll think, oh, God's angry God. No, I see the love of God in the book of the prophets, giving them opportunity after opportunity to draw near to him, but they didn't do it. So it's going to be, when the end of times, it's going to be like this. But when we have the heart of God, understanding what he was after all along, to have a family in fellowship with him that would know him before him in heaven forever and ever, who gained the revelation of his love while on this time on the earth, to know that's what the Father is after. When we see through the Father's eyes, we see it's worth it all. We can then understand Romans 8:18. It says the suffering of this present world is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in the end. How precious is God having that family? It's as a woman having a child. You go through the pain of childbirth. And afterward, you sort of forget about that because of the glory of holding that baby child, that new life. Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross. We endure these last days because of the joy of the fact that a family shall be born and shall live forever and ever in the kingdom of heaven. We need to see it as the Father sees it, not through just humanity. Oh, what about me, 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 me? I want everything nice for me, 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 me. I want everything pleasurable for me, 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 me. God wants us to mature, to grow up, to see beyond childishness, to see in the realm of the plan of God, that we might flow with it. And it says those that are called and chosen and faithful, war's made against us, but we are overcomers through him. And as the children of Israel are approaching judgment being poured out, and they'd be in captivity 70 years. The just shall live by faith. We'll go through this by faith. And Daniel's the classic example. He prospered in Babylon. He was raised up in Babylon. God can prosper us in this last hour. He can prosper us even though the beast takes its place up until the tribulation time when everything would change again. He can prosper us in the midst, but we must live by faith, trusting in him. Learn to trust in the Lord, not in what man has, not in money, not in things, but to trust the Lord each and every day. That will be evidence in the fact, are you drawing near to him or not? What is your confession? What is it you speak? What is it you apply your effort, your time to? To trust the Lord. I'll finish with Habakkuk 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. And at verse 1, he speaks of his prayer for reviving the work of God in the midst of the times. We need the move of God in these last days. And at verse 17, it says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the owl shall fail, and the fields yield no meats, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. In other words, whether there's what the land I'm going into, whether the things I would enjoy in this life are present or not, I'm going to do something. I'll rejoice in the Lord. I will joy and rejoice in the God of my salvation. He's still my salvation. Whether things are affected around me in the world is irrelevant. My salvation is not altered at all. It's not taken from me. It's not stopped. The kingdom of God is unhindered in my life. So I will continue to rejoice in Him. We must keep our eyes on the Lord and not happening around us. If you get your eyes on what's happening, it can discourage you very fast. It can make you angry very fast. But we must be purposed. I will rejoice in the Lord, the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Verse 19. He will make my feet like hinds' feet and make me to walk upon the high places. In other words, no matter what's happening around me, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to walk in victory. I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm strengthened by Him. He is my strength. I'll never let go of that. I'll continue to rejoice in Him. Now, this is something, it's not just like a future thing. We practice day by day. So let's do it today. Let's stand, rejoice in the Lord today. Hallelujah.